But let's get to the Word. You want to get to the Word? I know you're here for the Word. And let me tell you a little story to kick off. This happened years ago. I was invited to do a wedding at a thoroughbred ranch just west of Fort Worth. And it was a highfalutin deal. A lot of cowboy hats, nice-looking boots there on the property. And I was there early because it was going to be one of those ranch-style weddings where the Big Texas barbecue, don't think lunch yet, Big Texas barbecue. And, you know, it was just a highfalutin thing. And I had the honor of doing the wedding that day, and so I was there early. And it's the people kept going. It was an outside wedding, so they kept going outside and having to wipe down the chairs because it would rain sporadically. And there was a concern, and I'm sitting on the inside, and I'm listening to the people. I'm kind of looking over my notes, and somebody popped off and said, if it rains, it's going to ruin this wedding because we don't have a place to put everybody that's coming. There's a large crowd coming. And somebody popped off and said, well, if Elijah was here, we wouldn't have to worry about it. Now, I want to tell you, when he said that, I was over there just behaving myself. I know that's hard for some of you to believe, but I was over there behaving myself. But when he said this, this just jumped out of me. And I said, we don't need Elijah. We got Elijah's God. And I went, you know, it wasn't in my notes anywhere. I wasn't planning on saying that. It just kind of erupted out of me. And when I said that, there was a holy silence for a number of minutes. And then they went outside to wipe down the chairs because it started raining again. And so sure enough, I'm going to tell you this real quick. But when the wedding started, I just got started. I mean, I just opened my mouth and greeted the people. And when I did that, it started raining. And I want to tell you, it started raining so hard that I'm looking out there and I'm seeing people run for cover. And this is what came out. I said, stop. I said, let's pray. And I said, Lord Jesus, thank you that you have destined this wedding with your grace. And I declare in the name of Jesus for this rain to stop. Shut up and be at peace, that this wedding may bring honor and glory to God. Now, I want to tell you, the neat thing about this, they were recording it. And after I got through saying that, confessing that, decreeing that, there was a wind, and you could hear it on the tape. And it completely stopped. Now, I want to tell you something. I was more thankful than anyone else there. Okay, I promise you. Don't look at me like some big man of faith, you know, because it was happening so quick, and I'm so glad I didn't have time to think about it too long. It just kind of erupted out of me. But I could see looking back. How many of you can look back and see God working? That's why we can trust Him. Hey, a lot of what God does in our life doesn't depend on human reasoning. If I'd have had time to think about it, I might have put some brakes on. You know how humans are. But I want to tell you something. It happened quick, and I tell you, I think God was setting the stage all along. Even when I jumped out there and said early on during the day, we don't need Elijah. We got Elijah's God. Well, I want to tell you, the Lord showed Himself mighty. The wedding went off great. Barbecue went off great. Don't think lunch. And but I can't tell you how many people segued up to me during that period of time afterwards, because there's some big shots there at the wedding, segued up to me and said, how did you know that the rain would stop? And the only answer I had that day was that because Jesus is the true weatherman. And so I want to tell you, it gave me an opportunity to share personally with a number of people about the power and the presence and the peace of Jesus. And so that's kind of what this is all about today. I'm going to talk to you about the peace of Jesus. And I want to try to show you that peace is not just something He gives. It's who He is. He is Shalom peace. Amen. And He has given us by grace all that He is. And in salvation, it's an all-encompassing word. And I want to tell you, yes, there's heaven in your salvation. But there's also heaven here in salvation because he's here. And he dwells inside of us. And I want to announce this to you in the name of Jesus. All that he is, when you receive Christ, all that he is inside of you. Now, here's the deal, because this is where religion gets in the way. Religion says, well, how do we earn this? How do we deserve it? How do we talk him into it? How do we work our way into blessing? No, I want to tell you, I used to say that he's lowered the bar by grace, but now I have to say he's taken the bar away, because he's done the works for us to simply receive. By grace, we believe, we receive. It's not by your doing, it's by your believing that we receive. And so I'm here to announce to you one of the great benefits of receiving Jesus is that he is peace. Not like the world gives, he is peace. Now, I'm going to just say this and I'm going to back it up, and I may need next week to kind of back it up, because we're going to talk about the power part next week. And because he is peace and he is power. More peace than you could ever receive. More power than you can ever imagine. Because that's who he is. Now, where there's peace, when you are receiving him, acknowledging him, agreeing with him that he is your peace, when you're at peace, everything that he is available for you. Thank you for that hearty amen. Good preaching, Brother Tim. That's my best side, by the way. On these tours, people want to take pictures of you, and I kind of shy from the camera. My beautiful blonde knows this, and I have to get mentally prepared to get my picture taken. But I want to tell you, at one time I said, do you want my best side? And they said, sure. And I went like this. They said, no, that's not going to do it. Turn around. Okay. Let me tell you something. This is Psalm 46:1. This verse is very, very present for you because he's present in you. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present and well-proved help in trouble. Now, I want to tell you, there are some people that preach, and I want to tell you, I just got to say it, they're lying. Some people will preach and say, if you really love Jesus or you really know the Lord, you won't have any troubles. That's a lie. This is not Disney World. This is Earth. It's a battlefield. Are you with me on that? Yeah. We're going to touch base on that a little bit next week. I'm just encouraging you on that because I want you to be here next week and bring somebody with you. But here's the deal, is that storms of life come. I don't care how spiritual you are. I don't care how mature you are. I don't care what you've done or what you haven't done. Storms come. This is a fallen world. It's a battlefield, and storms can be overwhelming. So let me rush to say this. We've got people here. There are always people around us that are in storms. You may not be in one right now. Don't get proud over it. Don't act too spiritual over it. Because I want to tell you, some storms come because you're doing right. It's called resistance of the enemy. Some storms come because we invite them. Come on now. By our foolish decisions, we can invite a storm. Now, if that happens, don't blame other people. That's not going to help you. Don't blame God, because that ain't true. As a matter of fact, it's very wise to take responsibility of where you are or where you're not and seek the Lord on it. But I want to be real honest with you. No matter why the storm comes, when you surrender the storm to Jesus, he gets right in the middle of it. Invite Jesus into your storm, no matter what the reason is. Don't you dare say, well, I just deserve it. I just deserve it. No, I want to tell you, he paid the price for he to be your rescue in the storm. And sometimes he rescues us immediately. Somebody say praise God for that. Isn't that fun? Sometimes he rescues us in the journey of it. Hey, he will walk us through. Somebody say through. You follow the shepherd through the valley of the shadow of death because he brings you out. It's temporary. It's not forever. If the enemy tells you that, he's lying because he is the master of lies. Don't let other people tell you that because it's God's desire to walk you through it, out of it, into green pastures. Isn't that great news? Well, okay, that kind of sets the stage of where I'm going because I was one of the pastors that I was sharing with, and this was a pastor in Kansas, and he was a pilot. And I got to sharing with him how that some storms seem to just drain. You know, storm can drain you. A storm can make you come out there, you know, make you feel lonely in the process, like you're all alone. You're not. That's a lie. But it can make you feel like you're all alone. It can drain you. It can make you feel abandoned. It can leave you very weak. Somebody say that's right. I'm preaching in the right place. But this pilot told me, he said there's a term for that we use as pilots, and it's, if I've got it right, it's spatial disorientation. And what that means to a pilot, and they actually train them about this, is that there are going to be times, and it could be times while you're flying, that because of fog, because of clouds, because of weather, flying over water or whatever, that you come to a place where you don't know which way's up. Now, we kind of have little versions of that when your feet are on the ground called vertigo, and so you may understand that, but I want to tell you these pilots, and they will train them that when you come to the place where you don't realize what's up and what's down, the mind will play tricks on you about that, that it's you cannot go by your senses. That's what these tell these pilots. You can't go by what you feel. You can't go by what you see. Okay, in the physical, you've got to study your instruments, and you have to have faith in your instruments when you can't make sense of where you are or where you're not. No, whoa, I'm telling you. When he said that, I said, that'll preach, and here it is. So, you may not know which side's up right now because of the storm you've been through. We got compassion for that. We're not throwing Bibles at you. We're going to help you with the Bible. Matthew 14, the disciples were experiencing a storm, and it had been all night long. As a matter of fact, the Bible declares that it was in the fourth watch when Jesus showed up. Now, when it speaks of the fourth watch, it's talking about the darkest time of night. The fourth watch is between 3 a.m. and 6 a.m. How many of you know it becomes darker right before dawn? Yeah, we understand that. Well, I want to tell you, Jesus showed up. They'd been struggling with this storm, and it was fighting them and beating them, and it had whooped them to the place that they thought they would die, that they would drown. Now, these weren't amateurs. These were professional fishermen. They had seen many storms, but this one they believed had their number. And they were parked in fear. Hey, don't throw a Bible at them yet. We understand we can get there. Am I right? Well, I want to tell you, they were there. As a matter of fact, when Jesus came to them walking on the water, they immediately thought it was a ghost. They didn't recognize Jesus. Now, I want to tell you, if you've been watching those Halloween movies, and we warn you not to do that, don't do that. Matter of fact, protect your kids from that kind of junk. Protect yourself from it. We don't need to flirt with fear. There's enough real for us to fight. You don't need to invite any of that mess. But listen, they were parked in fear. And when you're parked in fear, you know what you're going to see? When you're focused on fear, you're going to see fear. And they assumed Jesus was a ghost. Jesus revealed himself as he is. And I want to announce this to you. That's what he wants to do with you this morning. He wants to reveal himself to you as he is. As a matter of fact, the Lord prompted me this morning that before I go too far in this sermon, I need to pause and take authority over storms so that you can have some calm, so you can recognize Jesus. Are you with me on that? Amen. Just look to the Lord right now. Just focus on Him and not on me, and you're going to get a whole lot more. Lord Jesus, we take authority and break the power of these storms. I renounce every distraction. I renounce every depression. I renounce every discouragement. We speak peace right now to the storms that are in the hearts and minds of these precious people. And we declare that Jesus is Lord. And we speak in Jesus' name that He is opening up our eyes and our ears to see Him and to hear Him, that we might respond to the great shepherd, our champion. And all the people said, amen. Amen means I want that. So that's why we're an amen church. Okay. And so here they are in the darkest hour, and our champion, our rescue, our champion shows up. Now, the Bible describes to him walking on the water. Now, I've meditated on this a lot. I don't think, because Jesus wasn't in fear. Was Jesus in fear? No. Was Jesus in victory? Yes. Did Jesus have courage? Yes. Was Jesus at peace? Yes. Well, we can be too. Now, I picture him walking on the water, and it was something like this. Well, I don't know how you see it, but I see it as a victory dance on the very things that the enemy sent to destroy the disciples. Jesus was dancing on top of it. Wow. I hope that speaks to you this morning, because Jesus is on top. No name greater than his name. Jesus is on top of the very storm the enemy has sent to disturb you, to distract you, or destroy you. That's your Jesus. He's our rescue. Aren't you glad that that's your personal Jesus? Your loving Savior is your personal rescue. He's above the storms. He's greater than every opposition. And I want to announce something to you. You are the apple of his eye. You're on his mind. He loves to rescue his own. Yeah. Matthew 14:27. Look at this. This is what Jesus said to him. He spoke to them. The words of Jesus are so powerful. That's why we have the confessions of Freedom Life in your bulletin every week. For you to take the words of Jesus and confess them. Confess means to agree with. Yeah. And when you say with your mouth what God is saying about you, there's agreement and there's power. And so the key is, it's not to use those scriptures of confession like some kind of I don't like this word, but I'm trying to explain, not like some kind of genie or something. That if I just say these, no. See, when you look at the Word, even those confessions, you see Jesus in the Word. It's all about Jesus. When you focus on Jesus, you'll see Jesus. When you focus on Jesus in the Word, you're going to hear Jesus, and you're going to receive the power of the words of Jesus affecting your life. And so how fun with those confessions of the Word of freedom in your bulletin this week. My beautiful wife will put them up on the mirror, and I can hear her in there repeating them and confessing them. And I want to tell you, it's not just saying them, it's agreeing in your heart to what Jesus is saying about you. Somebody say amen to that. That allows me to move on. Thank you. I'm preaching faster the more you say amen. And so let the Holy Spirit personalize this to you. This is what he said to them. This is what he's saying to you. Take courage. I am. Now, I know some versions will say, I am here. And that's ever true. He is ever present with us. He's promised he'll never leave you nor forsake you. I don't care what your feelings say. The truth is that he said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But I want to tell you what this says. He says, I am. I am. The same thing he said to Moses in the burning bush. When Moses had all kind of questions about who, what, where, when, how, he said, I am. He's saying this to the disciples. I am. You know what that means? He's everything you could ever need. He's everything you could ever want. He is everything for your journey here. He's all in all. That's your Jesus. Somebody say, He's the great I am. Yes, He is. He's that for you today. He really is. And so, let this be personal to you. Hear the Lord saying to you, you don't have to park in fear. You don't have to be afraid. Fear will paralyze you. But I want to tell you what He is. He says, take courage. Now you say, well, I don't know how to do that because I'm in fear. Hey, courage is not without the presence of fear. I want to tell you, His courage is available in the midst of fear. And so don't you dare wait till you don't have any fear to have courage. That's not the way it works. I want to tell you, courage is who He is. Remember, it's by receiving. And so I want to tell you, you take the words of Jesus, and you focus on the person of Jesus, and you practice receiving by faith, not by reasoning, because you can't figure it out. It's supernatural. It's a supernatural receiving. Hear the words of Jesus, put your focus on Jesus, and He gives you by grace courage. He gives you courage. It's not your courage, it's His courage. Hey, get this, it's not your peace, it's His peace, and it's supernatural, and you can't explain it because it goes beyond human understanding. And so I'm announcing to you, don't let your brain get in the way. Now, when you come to church, don't leave it at home. Don't think rain and leave it at home. No, you bring your brain with you. But I want to tell you, there's a place in everyone's journey on a regular basis where you have to say, this does not make sense to this world. It's by faith, not by sight, not by my senses, surely not by my emotions. It's by faith. And I'm telling you, the Word of God calls us to believe what He says in spite of what this looks like. Because we don't, even though we're on this level, we don't live by this level. We live by the vertical. Not the horizontal, we live by the vertical. It's by the unseen, the invisible. That's where hope resides. And He will give you hope, He'll give you a picture, and faith comes when you agree. And I want to tell you something, Jesus wants to set you free. So when storms come, you can't win by what you see in the physical realm. Somebody say, yes, that's true. What you hear and what you see, I want to tell you, we could go interview Peter this morning, because he's in that story in Matthew 14, and we could say, Peter, what were the waves saying? The waves were saying, I'm going to kill you. What was the wind saying? The wind saying that you're done. Now I want to tell you something. As long as he had his eyes, as long as he was focused on Jesus, and as long as he had his eyes on Jesus, he operated in the supernatural. Now you could say, well, wait a minute. Jesus is the Son of God. He can dance across the water. Well, what about Peter? He's just as human as we are. As a matter of fact, I get a kick out of him because he didn't take time in the boat to reason. He said, Jesus, I want to be with you. Can I come do that? And Jesus said, come on. He knew he had to have the word. And so when Peter stepped out of the boat, it didn't matter how big the waves were. Come on. It didn't matter how big the wind was. Come on. Are you trying to tell me that if the place was completely calm and there was no wind, it'd be easy to walk on water? No, it's impossible by man because it's supernatural. And so I'm telling you, as long as he had, and he stepped out of that boat, he walked on the words of Jesus. Because Jesus said, come. You know what Jesus is saying to you today? Hey, turn your heart toward me. Jesus is saying, come on. And I want to tell you, he's already come to you. Okay? Invite him into your boat. Invite him to be in the midst of your storm. Because when you do, he takes responsibility for it. Isn't that great news? And so I'm telling you how beautiful it is that as long as he had his eyes on Jesus, he operated in the supernatural. Like Jesus, he was dancing on the water. Now, you know what happened when you take your eyes off Jesus. Me and you experienced this. When you take your eyes off the vertical, off of Jesus, and you put your mind on this. Well, I want to tell you, it's full of all of this right here. Full of all kind of lies. And you know what? It'll get you into a place where you'll start sinking again. And Peter began to sink. Now, come on now. Don't get on to them. There was a bunch of them still in the boat. I'm just going to say to you, don't stay in the boat. The boat's a sinking process without Jesus in it. Jesus says, come, you come. Whether it makes sense or not, whether it's reasoned or not, you do what Jesus says, and you watch Jesus show himself mighty. And so here's Peter. As long as he had his eyes on Jesus, he operated in the supernatural. That ought to speak to us. He took his eyes off Jesus, and he began to sink. But I want to tell you, if you find yourself sinking this morning, don't be under condemnation, because he's still your rescue, and all you need to say is, help! And he's right there. Apparently, he must have been close, because it says it reached down and pulled him up. Now, I've meditated on this. This may be just Tim talk. You can find out when you get to heaven. But I have an idea. The way I see it is Jesus pulled him up out of the water. And you know what? He says something to him about little faith. And I want to tell you what little faith is. It's unbelief. It's unbelief. When you look it up, every time Jesus mentions little faith, it's unbelief. Unbelief, we don't have to invite in. We don't have to agree with unbelief. We can, by faith, agree with Jesus. Now, I want to tell you what happens. He pulls him up, and this is Tim talk, but I think that him and Peter was holding arms together, and I think they both danced to the water, to the boat, and got in. Now, I want to tell you, as soon as Jesus got on the boat, the storm shut up. The storm was completely quiet. I'm announcing to you, Jesus is the true weatherman in your life. And I want to tell you, no matter what kind of storm the enemy sends, I want to tell you something. Jesus can stop the storm. Somebody say, yay, Jesus. Okay, look at this scripture right here. Deuteronomy 31:6. This is NLT. So be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid. This is Deuteronomy 31:6. Do not be afraid and do not panic before them. You don't have to fall apart like a wet paper sack, even if everybody else around you is. You don't have to, because you're not a normal human. Jesus himself dwells inside of you, and you know what? You can respond by faith and not by association with others. You can respond by faith and not by circumstances or the winds and the waves. Am I right? Hear the Holy Spirit speak to you, for the Lord your God will personally go ahead of you. Is that great news? I want to say to you, you don't know what storm may be on the horizon that the enemy has in store for you the next week, next month, next year. You don't know. But I can tell you this. Bible says Jesus is never caught by surprise. As a matter of fact, he's going ahead of you. And let me tell you what he's doing. He's setting the stage to show himself mighty in your life. In your life. He's setting the stage. He works behind the scenes. Yes, he does. For your good and his glory. Thank you, Lord. Amen. He'll go ahead of you. He will neither fail nor abandon you. Jesus is with you in your boat. Be sure and invite him in. He's in the midst of the storm because he's with you. He's your shepherd. He's your captain. By the way, if you invite him in the boat, be sure to let him be the captain. Wow. Man, I don't have time for that one. Okay. He's your victory. He cannot fail. Back when my oldest son, Pastor Zach, was about 2 or 3 years old, in between there. Now, he was a full-timer. I saw somebody on my journey that had their little one and had a leash on him like a dog, you know. And little one, well, he was a full-timer. He was running around that leash. He was holding on. I thought to myself, they didn't have that. when Zach was, but he was a full-timer. I could have used one of them. He was everywhere doing everything, I'm telling you. And I was in the house studying, and I was responsible for him, and I wasn't paying attention. I was in there studying, and I hear him cry out to me from one of the bedrooms. Daddy, help! Daddy, help! Now, I didn't have to pray about it. I didn't have to reason about it. When he cried, I came running. When I run into the bedroom, I find he has somehow, to this day, I don't know how, he's gotten his head in between the headboard and the wall, and it's stuck. Daddy, help! I don't know how he got in there. I couldn't figure out how to get him out. Now, I know you're going to picture this in your mind, so don't go too far with it, but I had to lay down on my back and do a leg press against the bed to push the bed out. It was that heavy, in order to get him out. And when I got him out, I didn't have to interview him. Before I got him out, I didn't have to say, well, let me investigate here. Now, do you deserve this? Were you just being foolish? Did you disobey me? Do you need to learn a lesson? I didn't go through that. You know what Daddy did? Rescue and comfort. That's what your Heavenly Father wants to do with you. Now, let me say this. It doesn't matter how big the storm is or how little the storm is. He delights in being your rescue because he's your personal shepherd. And so, let me read to you. Let me say this again, Proverbs 14:30. A calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body. Do you see that? I'll tell you what, medical science is just catching up with the Bible. Medical science is agreeing with this now. A calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body. But anything other than peace, other than love and joy, such as envy, jealousy, wrath, they are like rottenness to the bones. And so I'm telling you, this is important. Hey, peace is health to your body. Peace is life to you. Somebody say, that's my Jesus. Because he's peace. Now I want to tell you, anything that disturbs your soul, disrupts your mind, torments your mind, disturbs your soul, that's not Jesus. And I want to tell you, it's death to you. So I put things real simple. I'm going to say it like this. Peace is life. Stress is death. Yeah. And it's very possible you may not even know your own heart. And so it's why it's healthy at times to just say, Lord, search my heart. Do a blood test on me. You know, life of the body is in the blood. You go and you have a question about your health, one of the first things they want to do is a blood panel. Why? Because they can see life or death in your blood. Now, I want to tell you something. This is real. The Lord knows you better than you know yourself. We don't even know our own heart. Don't say you do. The Bible says you don't. You don't even know your own heart. But I'll tell you what you can do. You can ask the Lord because he knows you better than you know yourself. And you know what? If there's something there, if there's some kind of poison in your blood, he can show you. You understand, I'm not talking physical right now. I'm talking about your spiritual soul health. How's your heart health? Because peace is an important ingredient for you to walk with Jesus, to receive all that he has for you. And so Jesus said, remember this, don't let your heart be troubled. Now, I'm not a doctor or a son of a doctor. I like to say that because it's true. I'm just talking Bible to you, but Bible's more true than science. I thank God that science is agreeing with the Bible. Thank God for doctors. Thank God for them. We're on the same team. They just have a different approach. Thank God for those doctors. And we have some that use the Bible, the spiritual, and the medical. Thank God for that. Be advised about this. What are you letting in your heart? Because I want to tell you, I believe the number one killer is stress. Be advised about this. This is free. I ain't charging anyway, but this is free. The media is designed to make you mad or cause fear. And if you sit there and pump that into you all day long, or for a number of hours, or for too long, you pump in fear and anger, and then you worry why that you're angry, and you can't figure it out. You wonder why you're scared of things and can't figure it out. Guess what? You've invited it in. I'm just saying to you that the Word promotes peace. Jesus is peace. And so it's very, very important, and I respect the medical world. But I want to tell you, they're doing all that they can do. But I'm telling you, pharmaceuticals are very strong and they're very toxic. And I want to tell you, they will treat the symptom. But after a period of time, the very thing they're giving you to treat a symptom will cause side effects in other parts of your system, that they have to give you more meds. I'm not teaching you anything here, am I? I mean, you understand that's the way it works. They're very strong. They're very toxic. And over a period of time, they can cause a problem. We've had people in our fellowship that, doctor told them at one time, take aspirin. And they took aspirin every day for years and years and developed a problem because they were taking too much aspirin too long. Does that make sense? Look, that kind of thing happens. But what I'm telling you is that Jesus loves to give you peace. He is your peace. And when you're receiving peace, you're receiving health in your body. You're receiving life to enjoy. And I want to tell you, there's no side effects to peace and the Word and the healing of the Lord. There are no side effects. The only side effects to the Lord ministering to you is blessing. Is that great news? Yes. Amen on that. And so stress can cause all kind of imbalances in your body. It can cause you to age prematurely. Who wants that? Well, it can give you rashes, cause all kind of tummy problems. Am I right? It can lead to abnormal growth in your body. Stress kills. Sometimes doctors will tell you that physical symptoms are a result of psychosomatic. In other words, the attitude and the mindset of the mind, your mind, can cause physical problems in you. Your body listens to your attitude. That's why we need to walk in peace. And so this is very, very important. And I sometimes minister at a place and they'll say, well, we don't really believe in healing. And I say, well, we got testimonies. And they say, well, it's just psychosomatic. It was just in their mind all the time. Last I knew, the mind was a real part of the body, was a real part of your life. And I want to tell you, Jesus loves to heal the mind. And he can, and he will, and he loves to. Don't ever put him in a box to say he can't, because he loves to. John 14:27, peace I leave with you. My own peace now I give and bequeath to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your hearts be troubled. That is like the blood pressure to your soul. If your heart is troubled, then you're not in a good place. But I'll tell you what can happen. The Lord can remove that troubled heart because he is peace, and you don't have to walk and camp out in fear. Okay, I'm looking for my handkerchief. There it is. I put it in the wrong pocket. Don't let your hearts be troubled. We have a choice in that. Don't let them be afraid. That's not life, that's death. A troubled heart, he took on the cross. The Bible says he took on the cross the very anguish of our hurt and our pain and disturbance. He took upon the cross so that we could have peace. The chastisement of our peace was placed on him. He took the punishment for you to be free from a disturbed and troubled heart. He paid the price for your peace. Isn't that great? That's what he did on the cross. That's for you. He paid the price for you. Listen to the way the Amplified brings this out. Stop allowing yourselves to be agitated and disturbed. Do not permit yourselves to be fearful and intimidated and cowardly and unsettled. Now, Jesus wouldn't have used the word peace because he spoke Aramaic, Hebrew, and it would have come out shalom. Now, boy, I'm just going to read to you what shalom says. It's in your notes. But I got to cover it real quick because I'm already finding a place to land. And so it goes like this. It's a very rich word. The English wording doesn't even do it justice. But this is out of the Hebrew lexicon. It describes shalom as this. It's in your notes. Completeness, safety, soundness in body, welfare, health, prosperity, peace, quiet, tranquility, contentment, peace in human relationships, peace with your relationship with God because of the covenant relationship. Wow, that's a powerful word. That's Jesus. That's why that we spell grace, J-E-S-U-S. We spell peace, J-E-S-U-S, because he is shalom peace. That is in your salvation package. And so it's your birthright to enjoy it. Somebody say, I want that. Well, this is what he's paid for. This is your inheritance, your birthright. All these he paid for, and it's part of your inheritance in Christ. He bequeaths it to you, which means it's your birthright. And so you got to see this in your heart, and you got to know that this is real. And I'm going to find a place to land. Hallelujah. Okay, the covenant of grace is also known as the covenant of peace. I shared this with you, I think, during the summer, but it's Isaiah 54. It's in your notes. I'm not going to take time to read it. I'm just going to say this. In the same way, he said, just like the days of Noah, he said, I'll never be angry with you again. Now, Isaiah 54 comes after Isaiah 53. This is part of what Jesus paid for on the cross. It's a covenant of peace. And so now when you see the rainbow, you don't think about the waters. You think about the blood. Because it's a covenant of peace, the covenant of grace, the covenant of peace. And he said, I'll never be angry with you or rebuke you again. And he says, as long as the mountains, even though the mountains should depart. Now, I was in mountains in different parts of the country. And I want to tell you, they're still there. They're beautiful, still there. But I want to tell you something, even if they were gone, he says, I will never change my mind towards you because of what Jesus did. Wow. God's on your side. I'm going to tell you this story, and I'm finished. There was and this is a true story. There was a contest, and they invited different artists, well-known artists, to come, and there was a lot of money that was going to win this prize. And so they showed up. And they didn't know what the contest was till they got there. And so they announced to them, we want you to paint, use your artistic skills and imagination, and we want you to paint a scene of peace. And whoever describes and paints the best picture of peace is going to win the prize. They said, all right. So they said, mark, set, go. So but they're getting after it. And then after it was over with, there were some beautiful paintings of the beach, of the mountains, of a beautiful pasture and flowers. And it was all kind of pictures. But there was one picture that all the judges voted on. It was a unanimous choice. And when you looked at the picture, it did not make sense because it looked like the fiercest storm. And it was there on the edge of the sea, and it was a cleft up there in the rock. It was this high rock place, and there was a cleft in it. And then you could see the waves and the winds. And it just looked like the opposite of peace, and people, it don't make sense. But all the judges voted on it. But you had to look carefully because in that rock, there was a little cleft there, and there was an eagle, a mother eagle, in that. The rain, winds, storm, and right under her wings, you could just see, there was two eaglets standing on her feet, and she had her wings around them, and what really won this is that the little eaglets were asleep. They were asleep. They were at perfect peace, and they were resting in the middle of this storm because they were covered by her wings. They were under her provision and protection, and they were benefiting from her peace. Now, I want to tell you, that's what Psalm 91 says about you, that Jesus is to cover you with his wings. By salvation, he's placed you in the safe place. And you have access to his peace. That's your Jesus. Can we read this confession together? And I'm done. This is in your notes. I know this looks long, but this is for you to take home and to practice. And again, let me emphasize, it's not just the words, it's connecting with Jesus. It's seeing Jesus in it. But can you just repeat with me? Say this with me, not after me. Let's do this together. Lord Jesus, thank you for giving me your shalom in every area of my life. I want to experience and walk in a greater measure of your shalom. I want to live a life that is free of regrets, anxieties, and worries, and experience more of your health, energy, and strength. Today, because I have your shalom, I will walk in your peace, your provision, your protection, as I deal with the demands of this day. Let's give the Lord praise. Amen. Let's give the Lord a shout. Let's give the Lord an amen.